From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. What lessons are learned after overcoming dependence on heroin? How do you rebuild your life after 3 decades of addiction? Theo Hill, host of the new WYPR podcast, One Day at a Time, Recovery in Baltimore, hopes that sharing his story and the stories of others can inspire someone else on that path.
How I survive is only through God's grace and his mercy, because the lifestyle that a heroin addict lives is not conducive to, you know, to life.
Plus, we hear part of Theo's interview with Laura, who lost her family and her nursing license as a consequence of her addiction. She tells how she's repaired relationships and discovered the strength to stay sober. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. While announcing a class action suit last week against pharmaceutical companies for their role in the opioid epidemic, Baltimore City Solicitor Andre Davis gave an update on the toll of opioid overdoses.
I just learned that already this year we have more than 250 overdose deaths in Baltimore City already this year. More than all of the overdose deaths in other jurisdictions in Maryland combined.
The latest statewide figures from the Maryland Department of Health indicate that 1,648 individuals died in the first 9 months of last year from overdoses involving prescription or illicit opioids like heroin, fentanyl, or carfentanil. In fighting the opioid overdose epidemic, sharing success stories has been one way for those in recovery to reduce stigma and give hope to others on that path. Theo Hill hosts the new WYPR podcast, One Day at a Time, Recovery in Baltimore. He drives a truck for a living and works as a substance abuse counselor at an outpatient behavioral health program in Glen Burnie. Welcome to the show, Theo.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Why did you start this podcast?
I started this podcast basically from listening to WYPR, and I got inspired because of my personal life, and I felt like I could contribute to, try to help somebody.
So when you say inspired from your personal life, tell us what that means.
Well, my personal life consists of that I was a heroin addict for about 30 years, which is a career. Mm-hmm. And how I survive is only through God's grace and his mercy, because the lifestyle that a heroin addict lives is not conducive to, you know, to life. And I use heroin from 18 to 45. So that was like the 70s, the 80s, and, you know, I finally got clean in 1999.
Your father had been in the military. Your family moved around a lot before coming to Baltimore's Cherry Hill neighborhood. So you were 18
when
you started using drugs.
What
pulled you in?
Well, the lifestyle in itself, like my observation of the guys on the corner, they had knit suits on and nice looking shoes, and, you know, and just the way they were carrying themselves, I was attracted to that.
How many times did you try to stop?
At the end, I tried to stop maybe 4 or 5 times. But back then, when I got arrested is when I would stop cold turkey, you know, and then I would say to myself, I'll do something different when I get home. But the disease of addiction is so strong that it pulled me right back to the street, right back to the corner. And I really just did the same thing all over again.
And so, but you've been sober now for 19 years. What was it?
Okay.
What happened was, after
you know, being out there for so long, I was by myself. I was back in the back room of an abandoned building. And then I had a spiritual awakening. That's the only way I can describe it. And God lifted the veils off my eyes because I couldn't see how I was living. That's also part of the disease of addiction, that denial that it's not that bad. And then I broke down and asked God for help. And all of the answers were inside me. I didn't have to go, you know, find anything. And, you know, there was a treatment facility that was on demand at that particular time called I Can't, We Can. And I went there that evening and they asked me, they said, would you like to have a detox? And my body said, please get us to a detox because you can't go through this withdrawal thing without help. But my spiritual self said, maybe you need to feel this pain of withdrawal one more time so you won't have to go through this again. And here I am 19 years later.
You credited God's grace.
Yes, ma'am.
With this recovery. What role does your faith play?
Well, at this particular time, my role, each day that I'm here and I wake up clean and sober, I credit that all to faith and all to grace, because the lifestyle that I led when I was out there in the street, nowadays, you just wouldn't make it. This is before the fentanyl came into play. You know, I was just out there.
Fentanyl is so much stronger.
Yes.
Traditional opioids.
Yes. I was out there running the street and, you know, trying to make ends meet, you know, to get one more fix. And that always leads you to jails or institutions.
You said you were addicted for 30 years, and that had to be a big change when you came out, got a job, all that. What kind of resources were you able to tap into?
Okay, great. Well, my father was in the military, and I kind of been around trucks all my life. So what I did was I went to Eastside Career Center, and there was a program. This is back in 1998, and there was a program where they would pay my way to school if I did what they told me to do. And I did that, and I went to school at Allstate Career Center to get my commercial driver's license. After that, I had been in trouble before, and I had to go serve 4 years. And that was back in 2003 when I came home. In the process, my mother, who was my only support, and God knew what he was doing once again, because I was in prison out in Cumberland when she passed away. And it gave me that extra strength that I was going to make my mother proud and I was going to walk the walk.
Besides the job training that got you the certificate and put you on a path to get a job, what else could you tap into that helped you keep that promise to yourself?
First of all, let me go back. Baltimore City has a variety of resources if you're ready to change your life. I was eating in soup kitchens, and they would have all kind of pamphlets on the wall on where to go. And I ended up in Christmas Place, and I've been to St. Anne's a couple of times too. So I've run the gauntlet of places to go when you're homeless. So when I finally surrendered, I went to Eastside Career Center. And Eastside Career Center kind of filters people out. So if somebody runs to Eastside Career Center tomorrow, you got to hang in there no matter what, because it's designed to, you know, get the people who really want to change. And I was at that point where I did want to change, and I wanted to get my license because I was a truck driver by trade anyway, because I had been in the military. I'm also a veteran. So I had a couple of things in my, you just say a feather in my hat that I could go back on. I ate at Our Daily Bread. I went to the library across the street, you know, and filled out applications and stuff like that. So basically what I'm saying is I did the footwork it took to move on and to move forward.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Theo Hill, host of the new WIPR podcast, One Day at a Time, Recovery in Baltimore. His podcast explores the consequences of addiction and the hard work required to escape its grip. Sharing your story and the stories of those in recovery, is that something you find useful in your work as a substance abuse counselor?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. By going through the process of active addiction, once you surrender, and it has to be a total surrender, and some people relapse because I can't really think of the reason why they relapse. They something in their program that they won't admit, or they continue to do certain behaviors which lead them back to the drug. What I've done was, once I surrendered that particular day, I knew that my life would have to be totally different. And what I did was I just took it one day at a time. It's built up over the years where I have a routine, you know, and when I get up in the morning, I thank God for, you know, just for another day clean, another day on earth. And that's how I got inspired when I heard the programs on WYPR, right? And by being here in Baltimore, I knew that I could help.
Having intimate conversations with people who have overcome drug addiction, what similarities and what differences do you hear in their stories?
What the similarities are, the lifestyle. In order to be an active addict, you have to be creative in order to come up with the money every day. There's no rest, there's no vacation. Every day, sometimes two or three, four or five times a day, you have to come up with the money to purchase your drugs. And there's all kinds of ways to do that. But to continue to do that to sustain for a long period of time, it takes its toll. And I refer to it like going to a war. As you had talked earlier about the casualties that we have here in Baltimore City, 250 in the last 3 months, those are casualties of war. So going through that process and then somehow you make it to the other side, we kind of find each other. And when we find each other, we exchange our stories and say, okay, I've been through that. And it helps us, inspires us to get another day.
The creativity that you identified in those who use and the energy they put into it, does that become an asset for them, a resource, once they are in recovery?
It's almost like both. It becomes an asset and a curse at the same time. And there has to be a balance in the way you go about your business, because you could be overwhelmed because you have an addictive personality. That doesn't go away, you know. You have to do other things than to just talk about recovery. You have to exercise and meditate and come up with a plan for each day.
A plan for each day.
Yes. You know, today I drove a truck. I got up at 2:00 in the morning and I drove to Philly. I made my delivery. Then I came back and my family picked me up. I took them home and then I came here. That's a plan. Now, for the rest of the day, when I leave here, there's a 6:00 meeting that I'm going to, where I'll be seeing other recovering addicts. And then we'll kind of like just reminisce of how our day's been, how you been, and you got to keep this up on a daily basis.
After our break on this show, we're going to play an excerpt from the podcast episode, Laura's Journey. How do you know Laura?
It just so happens that me and Laura, I met Laura in of the rooms of it. a 12-step fellowship. And we are in a relationship, but we've been in one for 13 years. And once I started this podcast, she asked, could she come on? And it's been like history ever since.
We're going to meet Laura in just a minute. Theo Hill hosts the WYPR podcast One Day at a Time, Recovery in Baltimore. Theo, thank you.
Thank you.
You can find Theo Hill's podcast at WYPR Podcast Central, as well as iTunes and Google Play. Quick break here on The Record. When we're back, we'll hear an excerpt of Theo Hill's conversation with Laura, who's been in recovery for almost 13 years. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Earlier, we spoke with host Theo Hill about his goals for his new podcast, One Day at a Time, Recovery in Baltimore. Now we'll hear a bit of the episode, Laura's Journey. Hill began by asking Laura how her substance use began.
Well, my addiction started back years ago. I did have a broken family. My mother left me when I was at the age of 7, and my dad actually raised me. And however, at the age of 16, I have gotten my first job and moved out on my own with my boyfriend. I just took life as it became. I had a few children and got married. After I had got married, I was introduced to heroin through my husband. I did heroin for a couple years, and I was eventually introduced to crack cocaine, which took my life where I never thought I would go.
What were some of the consequences of your using?
The consequences of my using were a lot of things that I have lost. I had a nursing career, which I enjoyed taking care of people. Lost my nursing license. I also had a house that I was paying mortgage on, not rent. I was paying mortgage, and I lost that. I came about to tell my dad the lifestyle that I was living, and he technically disowned me. I didn't have no relationship with my dad, any of my family. My children that I had, I lost the relationship that I had with them.
What about employment?
I just started jumping from job to job, just trying to make ends meet. And also, while I was trying to make ends meet, I was also trying to supply the drugs for my addiction. And there was no way of keeping a job, so there was no actual way of keeping money in my pocket. There was ways of finding ways and means to make the money to supply the drugs that I was using. I was in and out of treatment several times. Actually, it took me 5 times to get where I am today as of 12 years of recovery. I was in and out of jails, institutions. I was spiritually deaf.
And that's lead me to my next question. How about your spiritual life? Was there any spiritual life while you were in active addiction?
I didn't really have a relationship with the God of my understanding. I did go to church when I was a little girl. Coming up after I got on my own, I stopped going to church. And I never really had a relationship with a God. I always knew there was a God, but I never had a relationship with God the way that I do now.
During that time, were you angry with God?
Yes, I was. I was angry with God because not that I thought that I left God, which I did. I always thought that he left me too, only because there were times where I didn't have what I needed to get high. And, you know, we always have that certain prayer that we pray to God. And a lot of times, most of the time, my prayers never were answered. And it was like I never thought that God was on my side, that he was not there with me.
Yeah, those were called jackpot prayers. How many years were you in active addiction?
Believe it or not, I was only in active addiction for 8 years. And I'm only going to say only because of the fact that a lot of stories and a lot of people that I see in the rooms of NA and the fellowship have way more years of active addiction than I do, which I don't separate myself because at any given time, I know that I can always go back to using.
What made you finally surrender to your addiction?
I surrendered to my addiction when I got tired of living the way that I was living. I got tired of trying to find ways and means to get just that one more. When I would come down off the drugs, there were times where I would really want to be with my children. Thoughts popped up in my head about my kids. And then once I took that next hit, it's like everything like disappeared. But I got tired of the way that I was looking. Coming into recovery, I was 98 pounds soaking wet, and it was like I just got tired of doing what I was doing. I was sleeping with other people that I didn't want to sleep with and was always finding ways and means to get more, and that's not what the lifestyle that I wanted to live.
Okay, so how many years have you been in recovery?
I have been in recovery now as of November the 29th of last year, 12 years.
Now, if somebody's out there in podcast land, do you have any encouragement about recovery for them that's out there struggling?
I have a lot of encouragement. I know if I can do it, I know anybody can do it. My main focus is to take it one day at a time. Sometimes I have to take it 1 minute or 1 second at a time, but that second or that minute always lasts as long as you don't pick it up, because if you don't pick it up, it don't get in you. And also, I have built a foundation, and the NA fellowship that I go to for guidance and answers that I can't answer myself.
Do you still have cravings and dreams?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I had one. I had a drug dream and a craving the other day, and I actually kept it to myself for right now until as of today, which I'm exposing it. And I know that once you expose it, it's in the light, and you can get help as long as you ask for it.
Explain some of the things today that helps you stay clean and sober.
Well, actually, my daily life today is, it consists of my grandkids, and it consists of working. One of the things that I have gained when I came into recovery was my license. It's one thing that to really want something, but it's a great feeling to know that you can get in a car, in your own car, you can turn your own key, and you can go on about your business in your own vehicle and know that you're legit. So I gained my license. I gained my children's respect back. I've gained grandchildren in the meantime. And I have a job which I go to work every day. I get a can't say a weekly paycheck because I get paid every 2 weeks, but I get that money. And when I get that money, I know what I have to do with it. I know I have to pay bills and be a productive, a member of society. And I know no matter what, that I can always say that I will never use again.
How does it feel to tell your story?
It feels wonderful to tell my story, and I hope and pray that whoever listens to my story that gets something out of it, and also know that no matter what comes down the pipe that you just don't have to use, that there's always some kind of help, somebody out there that will always try to help you if you need help.
That was an excerpt of Theo Hill's interview with Laura on the new WIPR podcast, One Day at a Time, Recovery in Baltimore. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to more episodes. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us. Join us again tomorrow.
Listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.